that have been called to preach, don't ever say you don't have anything to preach, because you could preach on and on and on just from the 119th Psalm. There's so much in it. But I want to read from that psalm today, beginning with verse 9, and read verses 9 through 17 for a scripture reading. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 17. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Take heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. And what I want to speak about today is keeping that which is committed to us. Keeping that which has been committed to us. And I mean us as those who are saved, as a church, as the people of God, of being good keepers, not poor keepers. The psalmist here said in the last verse that I read, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. And so there are things that we as God's people need to keep. But I want to remind you that if you were able to be here for the last, this past Tuesday night, for the last lessons in our winter Bible study, and in Brother Steve Skinner's lesson, and if you were able to be here Wednesday evening when Brother Phil Mayle preached, some of these things that I have up on my heart today have been said to us here recently. Brother Skinner, in his lesson that he gave to us about trying to avoid these worldly distractions, he spoke in that about things that we are responsible to keep. And Brother Mayle spoke about God being a divine keeper, and that in the Lord we have a divine keeper. And I want to, before I go any further, I want to speak about that which the Lord keeps, because I assure you that God is very faithful in keeping what He does. And we that have been saved, we not only have we been saved by God's grace, but the Bible tells us that we're also being kept by His power. And we find that recorded in the first chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with verse 3, I believe it is, where the Apostle Peter wrote, and he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I believe about the salvation of a soul. I don't believe that you and I are able to save our own soul. we're not able to save ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something else, that after that we have been saved, I don't believe that we're capable of keeping our own salvation. God saved us by His grace. This is according to the Holy Scriptures. He saved us by His grace, and He is keeping us by His power. And so the Apostle Peter said that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The Apostle Paul spoke about his confidence in God's ability to keep him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, we have a record of this, a scripture that I'm sure that most all of you are very familiar with. In 2 Timothy 1 and 12, Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And so this keeping power of God that the Apostle Peter wrote about, when he just emphatically stated that we are kept by the power of God, the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the preacher Timothy, spoke of the confidence that he has in God's ability to keep that which he had committed unto him. Do you feel that way today? Those of you that have been saved today, do you feel that way? Are you persuaded in God that He's able to keep that which you have committed unto Him against that day? Are you persuaded in the Lord today that because of God's grace, because of the experience that you have had with Him in the salvation of your soul, are you persuaded today that God's power is able to keep you and deliver you one day faultless before the throne and deliver you to heaven when this life is over? Do you have great confidence in that? In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and I love these verses. In 1 Samuel 2, 8 and 9, it said, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them." And in the beginning of that ninth verse, 1 Samuel 2, verse 9, in the beginning of the verse, it says, "He will keep the feet of His saints." Now that's the promise that we have according to God's word, that He will keep the feet of His saints. Let's look at another one in Psalm 121, verses 3 through 5. "He will not suffer," that's God, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And so those that know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, I'm telling you that in the darkest days of our lives, in the most trying days of your life, no matter what may befall you here, if you know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, you can look to heaven out of the midst of whatever trial that you may be going through and say, "I am still saved by God's grace. And God is going to deliver me from this one day. And all of these troubles and all of these trials that I have faced here in this life will all be forever behind me. I will lay them all down outside of the gates of heaven and never be afflicted with them ever again." God is going to deliver us one day into that home that He has prepared for His people. No matter what happens to us here, we're going home to be with the Lord. And that's a great blessing to have that type of confidence in God. And I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you about today. I don't want any, I have no interest in any type of religion that would not provide that type of hope. I really feel sorry for people. I wonder sometimes if they would really stop and think about the things that they believe, if they wouldn't maybe reconsider, because I really feel sorry for people who live their lives on the earth and they cling to a religion, and they even admittedly say that a person can't really know whether or not they're going to go to heaven when this life is over. Let me tell you something. If you can't be assured of things like that in God, what good is a religion? What good is it? But, you know, it's not religion that's going to deliver us there safely anyway. It's the salvation of the soul. But what good is a system of belief whereby a person says, well, I really don't know. I'm just going to have to wait until I stand before the great judge one day and see if the good outweighs the bad and see if I've done well enough to make it into heaven. Let me tell you something. I would hate to stand before God, you know, waiting to see if the things I had done in this life were going to be good enough to get me there, because I assure you they won't be. They won't be. Nobody will make it there without God's grace. I thank God for His grace today, don't you? Because I didn't deserve to be His child. Still don't deserve to be His child, but thank God by His grace I'm going. I'm going to that place that He's prepared for His people. To what extent, my Christian friend today, to what extent are we being kept? Well, I believe Jesus gives us that answer in a verse that we find in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John in the 39th verse. Jesus said, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up against the last day." God will not lose one of His children. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Now, there we have, I believe in that we have a great example of the omniscient God, the all-wise, the all-knowing God, because from Adam down to the very last person that will ever be born in this world before God brings an end to time, everybody through every generation that has ever been saved, their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God knows everyone. You know, if you look in, I believe it's the 7th chapter of Revelation, we find that that's a multitude that just can't be numbered, of every kindred, of every tongue, of people of every nation. I mean, there have been many, 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 many souls through the existence of mankind, and I'm convinced that if God continues to allow time to go on, there will still be people being saved. But all of the multitudes of people that have been saved through the existence of mankind, God has never forgotten one of them. God has never forgotten one name. And there will be never be one of His children that will slip past Him and go off into torment. He will not lose one. Not one. Now, if that's not security, I don't know what is. I mean, there's people in the world today that they look for security in a lot of different ways, in a lot of things. People look for job security and all of this. But I'll tell you what, if you really want to be secure in something, you seek the Lord and find Him precious to your soul. You come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And you won't only be secure in this life, you'll be secure throughout all of eternity. If you know the Lord, He will keep that. He will keep that. God is faithful and He is able. Paul was persuaded that God is able to keep that which He had committed unto him. So am I. And I believe that you are as well. But there are things that we that have been saved, There are things that we are expected to keep. Again, in the 119th Psalm, in verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. I want to ask you something today. As a child of God, is it of interest to you? Is it the desire of your heart as God allows us to live in this world? Aren't you thankful that God gave you life? Aren't you thankful that He gave you the opportunity to live in His world that He created? That He gave you the opportunity to be born and to exist and to live here, and especially to be blessed enough to be one of those that has come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I want to say this, if you're here today and you're lost and without God, God offers that to everybody. He offers that great blessing and that great opportunity of salvation to everybody. If you will meet the conditions of the Lord, if you'll repent of your sins, if you'll place all of your trust in Him, seek Him with all of your heart and trust Him completely for the salvation of your soul, He will save you the same way that He saved me and the same way that He has saved others here. But aren't you thankful today that God gave you the opportunity to live and gave to you eternal life? And is it of interest to you to keep His word? Is that what your heart's desire is? That God may help you as you live in this life to follow His precepts, to follow His word, to do things according to the way that God has said they are to be done, and not to be guided by your own interest or your own desires, but to seek to please the Lord with your life. Well, I'm telling you today that ought to be the desire of every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God. Listen, if we know that something is wrong according to the Word of God, then we shouldn't have a desire to do that. And if we know that it's right according to the Word of God, then it ought to be our heart's desire as His people to follow that. Is this your prayer? Is your prayer the same as the prayer of the psalmist, that God would deal with you in a way that you might be found keeping His word, that you might be found living or trying to live according to the way that God has told us to live? In the 20th chapter of Exodus, verse 8, does it cross your mind what God told us there that we are to keep? Think about it. What do we have recorded in Exodus 20? The Ten Commandments. You know what? In one of those, you know what the Lord told us to keep? The Sabbath. Keep it. Regard it. In Exodus 20 and 8, we are simply told to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. I remember hearing somebody not long ago, within the last couple of years, that said his son was talking to him and said, I don't really think that in the day and age that we live in, I don't really think it's expedient for people to keep the Sabbath day the way that they once did. And I love the answer his dad gave him. He looked back at his son and said, oh, so you've become one of those nine commandment guys. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. We are instructed in God's word to do that. Is that your desire today, to keep the Sabbath, to keep it holy? We certainly need to do that. God has a reason for that, and always had a reason for that. In James chapter 1, verse 27, James said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This one here, I believe, is a great challenge to us. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Christian friend, is that your heart's desire today? Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things in this world that are pollutants. There's a lot of things in this world, you know, we find ourselves a lot of time, it seems, in the situation there that we read about with Lot there being in Sodom, where the Bible tells us in the writings of the Apostle Peter that righteous man, seeing their unlawful deeds, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And there's things that we are around and things that are around us every day that if we don't keep ourselves unspotted from these things, if we don't stay away from these things, if we don't do like the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to Timothy about those youthful lusts, what did he tell him to do? He said, you run from them. You flee those youthful lusts. When you see them coming, when they pop their head, you run away. You avoid them. You stay away from them. Are you interested today in keeping yourself unspotted from the pollution of the world? Keeping yourself from those things that will vex your soul the way that those things vex the soul of Lot from day to day? Or are you interested in just jumping right in among them and dabbling in them? Well, the question's before you. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In Jude, verse 21, Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. God wants us to love, doesn't he? He loved us. God so loved the world, lost friend, listen, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. If you're here today and you're lost and in sin, I want you to know God loved you so much that he sent his son here to die for your sins. He was under no obligation to us whatsoever, but because of the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. Jesus Christ came to the world and he died for sinners. He died to make a way in order for you to be saved. That's how much he loved us and does love us. And when we get saved, we are under commandment. We are under commandment from the head of the church. We are under commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ to love each other the way that he loved us. I'll tell you what, this is how plain John put it. If you don't love your brother, don't you come and tell me you love God. That's a lie. If you don't love your brother who you have seen, how can you love God who you have not seen? Don't you love the writings of John? He didn't beat around the bush about anything. He just said, listen, if you say you love God and hate your brother, boy, people don't like to be told they're lying, do they? John didn't ever, evidently, he didn't care what people thought. He just said, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. The truth isn't in you. We are to keep the love of God. We are to keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, prove it. Don't you like that in your own life? Don't you prefer that in your own life? Let me ask you a question. If somebody wants to tell you over and over how much they love you, don't you prefer that they prove to you how much that they love you? If somebody tells you time and time and again that they love you, and every time you turn around, they're trying to do something to harm you, something evil against you, are you going to believe their testimony? Are you going to believe their words that they love you? Listen, we can tell Jesus all day long. We can stand up in the midst of the congregation of the saints today, and we can boast about how much we love the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you love Jesus, prove it to Him. If you love Him, keep His commandments. That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want lip service. He wants us to love Him indeed, with all of our heart, indeed, and in truth. Not just to say that we love Him, but to love Him, to actually love Him. Was not Adam, when he was created, was he not given something that he was to keep? Are you interested in keeping your life in a way that it'll honor God? In a way that God will be glorified? Takes some effort to do that. It sure does. Adam was to dress and to keep the garden. And you know what? He made such a mess of it that God had to drive him completely away from it. He sinned against God. He didn't keep His commandment. He transgressed His law. And God had to drive him out and away from that which He had purposed for him to keep. I'll tell you what, you can mess your life up so bad. If you're not careful, if we're not careful, we can mess our lives up so bad that we're not of any use to Him. We've got to keep ourselves, Paul, in the second chapter of Ephesians, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And I'll tell you what, a child of God can mess their life up to the point where they're not any influence to anybody. And we can do it easier than what we think we can. We always need to remember what was one of the things that was said here in verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Do you not see in yourself the ability? In fact, do we not see in ourselves that we are even prone to wander away from God? So we've got some things to keep, don't we? Do you ever find yourself just not being where you want to be with the Lord? Let me give you another verse before I go there. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." And so, we are to keep our soul diligently. Is that your desire today? I ask, and ask you to ask yourself that in your own heart and in your own mind. Is that my desire? Well, if it is, it takes effort. There are things that we have to do. Listen, if you never give attention to the Word of God, if this book is something to you that just sits on the shelf and collects dust, if you never give attention to the Word of God, if you don't take time to pray, if you don't take time to be a witness for the Lord and to reach out to others and try to show the love to them that God has shown to us, if we don't live the life that the Lord left us here to live, then it's not likely that we will stay anywhere close to the Lord. There's things that we must do in order to keep our soul. So what happens when we don't? Do you find those times in your life where God comes to you and He just makes you to realize, child, you've just drifted far away. You've just drifted far away from me. What do we do? What do we do when we have not kept our soul with diligence and we've drifted away from the Lord? Folks, listen, I'm not talking today about losing salvation. You know that's not true. We can't do that, but we can get far away from God. We can get far away from the fellowship that we ought to have with the Lord, and we can do it easily. And I'll tell you what, the devil will rock you to sleep before you even know what's happened if you don't keep your eyes open. And you find yourself, and you realize within yourself, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. I'm not anywhere close in my walk with the Lord that I need to be. What do we do? Well, thank God for what we find recorded in the 23rd Psalm. David said that He can restore our soul. God can bring you back. Have you ever had to turn? Listen, since the day that you've been saved, have you ever had to turn to the Lord and repent of some things and place your trust in God and say, Lord, bring me back. Please bring me back into the fellowship. I'll tell you what, if you've never had to do that, you've lived a lot better life than I have. Lord, restore me. Replenish me. Refresh me. Bring me back, Lord, to where I need to be. And we need to do that because we are prone to wander and get far away from God. You know, Brother Fugate was speaking about this, and I'm going to close here in a moment. But Brother Todd was speaking about this in his Sunday school class today. We have a responsibility as a church. We find it recorded in Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. He said that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Did you know the harmony and the fellowship and the unity of this church, that it's Fairview Memorial's responsibility to keep it here? If we let it go, we'll stand accountable to God for it. I assure you that we will. We are responsible before God to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we must keep our lives. Let me tell you something. God, if God has saved you by His grace, and I'm not going to back off on this at all. If God has saved you by His grace, it is your responsibility to put your light on the candlestick. If God has saved you by His grace, it is your responsibility to unite with His church. That is His commandment to you, that you unite with the Lord's church, that you receive scriptural baptism, that you put your light up on the candlestick, that it'll shine. And a child of God, as long as a child of God refuses to do that, they are living in disobedience to the Lord. We are commanded to do such. And when we have done that, then we are commanded to live according to His commandments, according to His word. We are not to trust in our own ways, but in all our ways, we are to acknowledge God and place our trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let me ask you something. When you've got an important decision coming up in your life, are you consulting God in the matter? Are you seeking counsel of the Lord? I'll tell you what, He can lead you better than anybody can. Are you praying to God and saying, Lord, should I do this? I'm going to advise you, young people here today, as you face college and as you face things in your young adult life, you need to pray. You need to seek the will of God in your life, and you need to know where God wants you to be. There have been a lot of young people that have just run off to college, run off seeking fame and fortune, and found themselves out in the world far, far away from God. Never even talked to the Lord about what He wanted them to do. And we need to seek the will of God. Listen, if you're not interested in the will of God in your life, you're not likely to stay close to Him. So we have things to keep, and we need to keep them. We're going to answer to God. We're going to answer to God for how that we spend our time past the time of our journey here on the earth. That's my message today. That's the things that the Lord placed upon my heart. If you're here today and you're lost, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. If you're here today and you're saved and you've gotten far away from God, you need to repent, and you need to just, you know, draw nigh to God. Pray that God will restore your soul. Pray that God will help you to be where you need to be. You know, I'm convinced we need that every day. So let's just stand and have a verse or two of a song. And anyone that has a need, we just encourage you to seek the Lord.